Teddy, our grandson, will be 3 months old on Saturday. He's such a happy, healthy baby. We get pictures from the kids on our phones a lot. He's already learned so much in less than 90 days. The most wonderful, charming thing is that he has learned to smile back. It's not gas. His face bursts into pure delight when he sees his sisters and brother, his father and mother, beam at him. Now, let's imagine that someone had given you the job, while Teddy was still growing in the darkness of his mother, of explaining to him about smiles, about families, about being hungry, about music, about love, about the world he would soon enter. He's never seen a face. If he opened his eyes, he would see nothing. He's never been hungry, though he might be aware of something going on if Sarah ate hot sauce, which she loves, or cabbage. Neither of my babies liked it when I ate cabbage. Teddy doesn't even know he's a baby or that he's nestled inside another person. He may have heard some sounds, his mother's heartbeat, sirens, maybe even voices, but he wouldn't know what they were. Of course, he doesn't have any language either. It would be a hard thing to help Teddy understand what's coming next. But no one taught him anything before the day when next was now, and with or without his consent, he emerged into the world and began the adventure of learning about life. The contrast between babies' life in the womb and what's waiting for them when they are suddenly born is the best analogy I have for trying to convey the struggle Jesus must have had to describe heaven to us earth dwellers. Jesus already knew what creation was destined for. When God is all in all, when every enemy, all the evil that brings suffering is vanquished, when even death itself has been destroyed. Jesus had lived in that. That was his reality. But it's not ours. And humans have words only for things that we have some experience with. So we just don't have a lot of ways to talk about the nature of God's kingdom that is beyond all evil and all death, because evil and death are so much part of our reality. We don't have a lot of vocabulary about when creation is enveloped in the utter perfection of God's eternal life. Jesus tried, though. He tried by talking about things we do understand. Bushes and birds and bread, fields and pearls and fishing. The kingdom of heaven is somehow like all of those. How? Well, first, the kingdom is about abundance, a big old bush coming out of a little tiny seed. As I pointed out last week, every speck of dirt in creation was created by the one God, and in verse after verse of chapter 13, Matthew has Jesus talking about God sowing seeds. So in the first parable, God is the someone who does everything, providing the dirt, the seed, the planting, and the growth into a big old bush. We are the birds who just happen to come across it after all the work is done, and we make our homes safe in its branches. Much like every human being just happens to be born and makes this fragile earth our island home. The same for the bread dough. God is the woman who hides yeast in some 60 pounds of flour to make at least 100 loaves of bread. God does all the work, bringing the flour and hiding the yeast in it, yeast which works through the dough to make enough bread to feed 100 hungry people. The kingdom of heaven provides for the creatures of the earth without our doing a thing to make it happen. The next parables that follow about treasure and pearls and fish all make the same point. God is doing all the work in these, too. We, humanity, we are the hidden treasure. We are the precious pearl. And God gives everything God has to own us, to be with us. Just as God gave everything, indeed God's own life, to redeem us in Christ. We, humanity, are also the fish that God spreads out a net to get, to bring into God's presence. Oops, but wait. Some of those fish are bad. In the Greek, literally rotten, stinky fish. Those stinky fish are cast away. What do we do about that? Well, remember what I said earlier, that the nature of the realm beyond death is that everything is enveloped in the utter perfection of God's eternal life. This means no darkness at all, no evil, no rottenness, no stinky fish will be present, can be present in that utter perfection of the eternal life that creation, all of creation, is destined for. Obviously, for it to be perfect, evil and death must be vanquished, completely eliminated, for that perfection to be total and eternal. It's God's will for this to happen, and we can't stop creation from getting to that destination. God is bringing it. Even though we can't stop it, though, we can choose to be part of God's project, or we can resist God's will. Humanity, unique among all life on this planet, has free will, the choice on whether to be good fish or stinky fish. Stinky fish are selfish, looking only to serve themselves, not their neighbors. Stinky fish bring the suffering to others that Paul describes: trouble, distress, harassment, famine, nakedness, danger, and the sword, causing their eyes to shed rivers of tears. You know, trouble, distress, harassment, famine, nakedness, danger, and the sword weren't all invented in January of 2020. Ultimately, though, stinky fish bring the same suffering on themselves into their own lives. And when they do, they weep and grind their teeth. Yes, one of the great mysteries of human existence is why God gives humanity the choice to be stinky fish, to choose to do evil. The best answer I know for why God lets this happen is so that we can be in a mutual relationship with God and with each other. A relationship that takes commitment, that can come only when we are aware that we have the choice of whether or not to love. God has already chosen to love us to death and committed God's life to us. Jesus Christ is literally the incarnation of that choice and commitment. This choice and commitment shown in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus is the personification of the utter perfection of life beyond death. The creation is destined for a plan, says Paul, where all humans, did you notice this? All humans will become just like Jesus. We will conform to the image of Jesus, loving God and each other as God loves us. This is great news. This is our destiny. The best news is that God's love for us cannot be stopped by any other power in the universe. Birds can't stop bushes from growing. Hidden treasures and precious pearls can't stop seekers from finding them. Fish can't outswim nets held by the angels of God. As with weeds, though, the job of sorting the good and bad fish is not one that any human being beside the Son of God is qualified for. Also, just like each one of us is a field with a mixture of wheat and weeds in it, each one of us is also an aquarium with a mixture of good fish and stinky fish. In the call to discipleship, we are called to learn to love God and each other the same way God loves us. Jesus invites humanity to learn to live in that love now, like good fish, calling us as his disciples, and in training us as his disciples, we have the gift given to King Solomon so long ago, the treasure of a wise and understanding mind, able to distinguish good from evil. The new treasure we have is God's love for us in Christ, a love that cannot be overcome by death or life, angels or rulers, present things or future things, powers or height or depth or any other thing that is created. The promise we have is that God is always and forever for us. And God knows that on this side of death, we are still little babies who simply can't fully understand the kingdom of heaven any better than a toddler can understand calculus. We need so much help. So consistent with God's will, in our weakness, our uncertainty, suffering, and struggle, God's Spirit is praying in us, with us, and for us, because God wants us to be utterly perfect and learn how to live with God in eternal life as Christ's brothers and sisters. We do get to choose how to respond, to go our own selfish, stinky way, or to love God back and be part of how God's will is done on earth as in heaven. Our choice doesn't make God love us any more or any less, but choosing to be stinky breaks God's heart. Yet God will keep giving everything to us until all creation, including us, is utterly perfect. When we learn to trust God's love and God's ways, to rest in God's heart, like Teddy, our faces will burst into pure delight because we know and see our Father eternal, the ruler of creation, is already beaming at us.